If you will, turn with me to James. We're in the book of James this morning. In your pew Bible, it's about page 1012. And we're looking at the end of James chapter 3, considering wisdom. Wisdom. Do you seek wisdom? And when we were in Albania the last month with our new son, as we were working with him, getting to know him, learning a little bit of his language, we learned that wisdom, or being smart, the word for that in his language was shumiskathet. It was a word that I loved. You won't remember that word. But what I liked about that word is it really means you figure things out well. When you think of wisdom, what do you think of? When I think of wisdom, I tend to think of someone who figures it out well, who applies truth well. And that's a great part of biblical wisdom, understanding applied. But James comes this morning and he wants to enlarge that for you. He wants to see biblical wisdom saturate your life and affect your relationships. And so he's going to speak to us about the source of wisdom, the way wisdom works its way out, the path that wisdom takes, and then lastly, the outcomes, the accomplishment of wisdom in our lives. Are you wise? We live in a world that seeks wisdom. Everyone seeks to be wise. And the Bible tells us that in our own eyes, every man is wise. In the downturns of Scripture, you will always see people did what was right in their own eyes. So maybe this morning we shouldn't just ask, what is wisdom? But we should ask, where is wisdom found? How is wisdom directed? What does wisdom show forth? Again, when we were with Noah, his favorite song that we were able to teach him was, "The wise man builds his house upon the rock." Any of y'all sing that when you were kids? The wise man builds his house upon the rock. The wise man builds his house upon the rock. And we would say, because the word for rain is she, and the floods came up. She, and the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm. But the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came up. And the rains came down, and the floods came up, and the house built on the sand went what? Went smack. Wisdom upon a firm foundation brings good in our lives, and folly falls apart. James wants you to see that this morning. So let's pray and let's consider God's word here. A wisdom that comes from above, that we may, as it were, wise up this morning. Are you wise? Where does wisdom come from? Pray with me. Let's hear James speak to our hearts today. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the privilege that is ours to come. And not only to consider your word, but to be considered under your word. Father, show us our hearts and show us the wisdom that comes from above, that we might truly apprehend the beauty of relationship with Jesus and hold fast to him. We pray, Father, that you would speak your word into our lives, that which is living and active would have its way in us, that by your truth and by your spirit, you would make us more and more yours. In the light of the finished work of Christ, we pray. Amen. Here it is, James chapter 3, considering verses 13 through 18 this morning. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Wisdom. The worldwide search of wisdom in religion, in Buddhism, wisdom is the striving for enlightenment. In Islam, the search for wisdom is submission. But in Christianity, the seeking of wisdom is Christ. Wisdom in Christianity is relationship. Wisdom in business is to make good relationships so you can make good sales. Wisdom in marketing is to understand people's appetites so that you can hook them. But wisdom in relationship is building peace that flows out of righteousness and truth. Wisdom from above is to guide the Christian life. Relationship that is formative will listen to the God who controls. And so we must seek a wisdom that is from above. First, this morning, I want you to see that wisdom is pursued from above. It is life-changing and filled with shalom, the peace of God. So this morning, I want you to see the source, the origin of wisdom. Notice there, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. And then down in verse 17, but the wisdom from above, the wisdom from above. There really are two sources of wisdom, or maybe better stated, there are two sources of what we might call wisdom. One is true wisdom, one is pseudo-wisdom or false wisdom. James is setting up a contrast here. The wisdom from above and the wisdom that is not from above, or we might say below. And so in James's mind, there are two types of wisdom, a true wisdom from God, the wisdom that has its horizons, its attention set on that which is beyond us, above, heavenly wisdom. As opposed to a pseudo or counterfeit wisdom, which is set on the here and now, the natural. It's unspiritual. It's even demonic, he'll go on to say. But its horizons are set in the present. Wisdom is a matter of horizons, biblically speaking. This week we saw the movie with Michael. We saw the movie Secretariat. Anybody heard of Secretariat? Secretariat was maybe one of the greatest thoroughbreds ever to run in American history, won the Triple Crown. And this movie was the story of the rise of Secretariat, the unlikely winner of the Triple Crown. And Miss Tweedy, the owner of Secretariat, it was her story of a belief in a horse. She could see beyond what the experts of the day could see. She understood that the father of Secretariat was fast and the mother of Secretariat had endurance, and that would make a great racehorse. And against all the odds, she held on to this horse that has become the most storied horse in race history. And you can see the movie yourself. But in that movie, the holding on by faith of something that is substantive leads her in a direction that ultimately brings victory. Wisdom from above brings victory into the Christian life, so to speak, as we focus on not just what is in the near sight, but what is in the panorama of what God is doing in our lives. Wisdom is the ability to see beyond the moment, beyond the present, to understand that God is at work, and the source matters. Miss Tweedy understood something about the source, that what makes a great racehorse is its heritage, right? Mom and dad, fast dad, enduring mom makes a good racehorse. The Christian needs to understand that true wisdom has its source, the foundation, in relationship to God Himself through Christ. What kind of wisdom do we seek? We seek a wisdom that is from above. That wisdom has a certain characteristic. We'll get there in a second. But notice the origin of this wisdom. Two types of wisdom. Pseudo-wisdom. does what's expedient. Pseudo-wisdom does what is applicable for the moment. What's in my best self-interest. But wisdom from above, godly wisdom, heavenly wisdom, casts its vision further. It is God-oriented in its view. And so the matter of horizons is really what's in James's mind here. Why? Because a worldly wisdom or an earthly wisdom there in verse 15, that wisdom which does not come down from above, it is earthly, it is unspiritual, it is demonic. Well, what is it that James is saying there? The wisdom of the day is a wisdom that lives without regard to God. And that's what he means there when he's considering this wisdom that's earthbound, that's thoughtless of spiritual matters, that even follows the demon-like wisdom of the world. What's he saying? It's a wisdom that doesn't give regard to God. It lives without regard to God. But the wisdom that is from above, that which is pure and peaceable and gentle and open to reason and full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, that kind of wisdom, it bears that fruit because it has this origin. It focuses on the God above all. It is from above. So its directions come from beyond this moment in time. Its directions come from the God of all. It is the source that produces the fruits of wisdom in our life. And godly wisdom seeks God. Godly wisdom seeks God. Why? Because the wise life is one that considers the beginnings and traces its origins back to God. First this morning, I want you to see the origin of true wisdom. There is this true wisdom that is from above. When we seek to live well, we must seek our direction from God. But secondly this morning, I want you not only to see the two sources of wisdom, one true, one false. I want you to see, secondly this morning, I want you to see the path of true wisdom. Notice here, here's the orientation that wisdom and pseudo-wisdom takes. Notice here, pseudo-wisdom first. Pseudo-wisdom in verse 14 there. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that is from above. There in verse 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Notice there the orientation of that wisdom. When we live in the expediency of the moment, what gets me what I want, then life begins to fall apart. But the expedient thing to do in our day is to consider wisdom this way. How can I get what I want when I want it? How can I be satisfied with life? And so others become a pawn, as it were, for the expediency of my journey. And so relationship begins to break down. What James wants you to see here is that wisdom is strikingly relational. Wisdom is striking relational. You can't live a wise life without considering others. First, we consider God, the source of wisdom. And then in living a wise life, we must consider others. Relationship is one of the important outcomes of living a wise life. And so a wisdom from below has in view me and my betterment at the expense of others. And yet godly wisdom, relational, notice how relational these factors are. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. It's authentic. It's truthful. Wisdom that is from above is then peaceable. It cares about the relationship and the fostering of relationship in peace. It is gentle. It is open to reason. It is full of mercy. It is self-giving to others' needs. It's filled with good fruit. It's impartial. It doesn't play favorites. It is sincere. That word there for sincere is the same word we get our word unhypocritical from. It's not two-faced. Wisdom is true. Wisdom is relational. And so a wisdom from above would direct our hearts to see that we don't cozy up to selfish ambition and vain conceits. We don't live just for ourselves, but we live in relationship under God, alongside others, for the good of community. Wisdom has this striking relationship so that it bears forth fruit that is in keeping with the very character of God. Wisdom. When wisdom from above has you, you will see it lived out in your life. It's the goal of God here to orient our lives in a way to honor Him, to show forth His goodness in our lives. You know, and sometimes you've got to ask the deeper question if you really want to understand what God is doing. Man, living in a culture, another culture for about a month, it has a tendency to disorient you because other cultures don't do things the way you do them. And so Marion and I, we were living in this other culture for a month in Albania, and there's some such beautiful things about this culture: their love of people, their love of children, their care for one another. But there were things that confused us all the time. You know, there are a couple generations behind us on the smoking spectrum, and so we would walk into the courthouse and there would be no smoking signs all over the courthouse and people standing under the no smoking signs out the window smoking. We would pull up to a green light and there would be a stop sign at the green light. Couldn't figure that one out. So finally, after 3 weeks of being there, I say, you know, it confuses the heck out of me when we pull up to a green light and there's a stop sign. Is there a purpose for that? It doesn't seem to fit to me. In America, we don't have green lights and stop signs at the same place. And the missionary we were staying with, he said, oh, yeah, there's a good reason for that. I said, well, please enlighten me. He said, here's the reason. It's because in Albania, we lose power from time to time. And when we lose power, the first power to go is the power for the red lights, the stoplights. And so to keep order on the road, and they need order on the road, let me tell you. There's a million cars like in downtown Bryan. It's kind of like driving with a million cars in downtown Bryan. And so the goal of the stop sign was the fail-safe. If the green light doesn't work, the stop sign does. You see, it was easy for me as an outsider of a culture to be judgmental of a culture. Why? Because I didn't understand the deeper rationale. Safety was important. If green lights don't work, stop signs do. There will be times in your Christian life when relationships will be tough to others. And when you will set your heart on being and doing what is pure and peaceable and gentle and open to reason, what is sincere, what is impartial, what is full of good fruits, and it won't make sense to you intuitively. Because this is what wisdom does, and this is what God orders. When you follow His plan, you will find that it will bring you to good ends. Wisdom is always sensible. It may not always seem sensible to you, but wisdom doesn't allow us to do simply what is expedient for our own best interest. Because wisdom at its heart is relational. God is relational. God made us to be relational. He relates perfectly in the Trinity to Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and He calls us to relate well to one another. And so relationship is part of the moral fiber of what God is doing here. In the church, relationship matters. And wise relationship seeks to live with one another in truth, in peace, in unity, in joy. And when the church gets crossways in its purposes, what you begin to see are selfish ambition, envy, jealousy, and destruction. The family. God made the family to live well together. When selfish ambition dominates, the family falls apart. But when purity and peace and gentleness and a willingness to bend, be open to reason with one another dominates, then we begin to live well with one another. Here's my point, beloved. Wisdom we often think of as someone who figures it out well. But wisdom can't show you its SAT scores or its PhD dissertations. Wisdom shows you its relationship with others. God, who relates to us, is built into the very DNA and fiber of the Christian life that we would pursue peace and love one another well. That's what mirrors a wisdom that is from above. When there is dissension among us, that's because we preferred this natural, here and now wisdom. What's in it for me? But when we have pursued God's wisdom, we will see the fruit of that wisdom come forth in what is pure and peaceable and gentle and open to reason, full of mercy, good fruits, sincere and impartial. I want you to see that the wise life counts God and others. It is the essence of what we need. Now, there are going to be times when you don't know how to relate to others. And that's when James will turn you back a page in your Bible and remind you, when you lack wisdom, chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Notice there, without reproach. God doesn't base whether he'll give us wisdom on our past. Without reproach for former sins, if we ask the giving God, he will give generously what we need. Why? Because God desires gracious relationships in the home, gracious, wisdom-filled relationships in the church, in a church that is to live for the betterment of a nation. He wants to see that flowing forth with us and through us in our community, in our university, in our jobs, in our life. Why? Because wisdom counts God and others as essential. Third, I want you to see this morning, not only do you need to see the origin of true wisdom, that it is from above, it comes from God Himself. Secondly, not only do you need to understand the orientation, that it has a certain fruit, a certain direction, a path that it takes towards that which is pure and peaceable. But third, I want you to see this morning that wisdom has two ends, or wisdom has an end and counterfeit wisdom has an end. And there is an outcome, an objective of true wisdom. Notice there the objective of true wisdom in verse 18. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The inevitable outcome of a wisdom from above that changes and transforms our relationship is that it is building in us a life of action, a life of righteousness, a life of peace. You know, in Pilgrim's Progress, in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, at one point, Christian meets a man named Mr. Worldly Wise. Mr. Worldly Wise is a man who lives for carnal policy. He's a man who lives in a town with Mr. Legality. And he does just enough to get it right, but that which pleases him. That's not the call of the Christian life. The end shot, the end outcome, the end goal of the Christian life is to live for peace and righteousness in our lives, in our homes, in our church, in our community. And what is it that wisdom produces? Wisdom produces righteousness that is sown, that's harvested out of a field of peace. To be at peace with God produces good fruit within us. In the turn of the last century, when Yale was turning out missionaries, Yale University was turning out missionaries, where missionaries literally were looking to go overseas in the beginning of a great mission movement. They would actually pack their belongings in their caskets, because most of the young men and women coming out of these universities knew that they were going into unreached areas, and it was likely that they would be shipped home in the box that they sent their stuff in. There was one young man who graduated about 1912 from Yale University. His name was William Borden. He was a millionaire by the time he was a high school senior. He was the heir to the Borden Farms' wealth. And while he was in college, he felt the call of God to go to Egypt, to be a missionary in Islamic Egypt, to work around, among the Muslims. And everybody questioned him. Why would he give up this life for that life? And so he came up with a motto for himself. No reserve, no retreat, no regrets. And to the mission field, William Borden went. Led, he believed, by the wisdom of God to share the community of peace, the righteousness of Christ with others. And he did come home in a casket. At his funeral, the man who did his funeral stood up and spoke about his convictions and his belief in Christ and his trust of Christ for all things. And he said this of the young Borden. He said, Borden was a man who understood that life did not exist in all his possessions, but that his life existed in the one who possessed him. Wisdom understands the importance of relationship. I want you to understand here, while James is pushing our hearts towards a moral fortitude that would seek wisdom, that applies virtue to our life, he's not telling you just to paste on peace and purity and sincerity to your life. It's not a fruit paste, as if you can do that from the outside. Why? Because as Christians, you must understand this. Christianity begins in a relationship. And the Bible tells us, reflect on Ephesians 2 later this afternoon, that Jesus is our righteousness. He is our standing before God. Jesus is our peace. He's the one who makes fellowship with God. So all of wisdom exists in relationship to God, that it may exist in relationship to others. See here the outcome, the objective of true wisdom. It's to produce a harvest, a righteousness that is sown in peace by those who make peace. The goal of the wise life is to live in the right way, under the hand of God, in peace with God and others. It's really sown up this way, isn't it? If wisdom is relational, it's first to God and then to others. James is really summing up what Jesus says with the two great commandments. Wisdom is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And likewise, to love your neighbor as yourself. There's the goal of the wise life, according to James, that we would live after Jesus in the pursuit of peace and righteousness. So this is what I would leave you with this morning. This is what I would want you to go away with as we leave and go into God's world, is to understand that heavenly wisdom is to be pursued. And heavenly wisdom brings the shalom of God into our lives, so that heavenly wisdom is to be lived, to be received, and to be shown in our relationships. How can we do that? Well, we must realize that the good life is not the get-ahead life. The good life, according to James, is the wise life. And the wise life does this. It has a high view of God and a generous view of others. And some of you struggle right there this morning, don't you? Is it ever hard for you to have a high view of God? Wisdom has a high view of God. Whenever wisdom begins its pursuit, it's always searching for where God is in that particular circumstance. So that means when we make our decisions this afternoon, we don't make them without regard for God, but we make every decision with regard for God. That's the beginning of wisdom. When you are confused and perplexed about what the next step is, the first step is to drop to your knees and ask God to help you see where direction is. When you are contemplating the big step in your future, you can't make that step without God. You must have a high view of God. You must regard God, because wisdom begins with God. The Proverbs say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is a right respect, a right regard, the author is saying there, the author of the proverb is saying, it's a right regard for God that is the beginning of wisdom. So regard God. Wisdom that is from above begins with a high view of God. It is a wisdom that hones and shapes our life in the school of Christ. And so when you hit the crossroads this week of indecision or of struggle or of circumstances that are beyond you, know that they may be beyond you, but they are not beyond your God. And your God has already satisfied all that you need to be in relationship with Him through Christ. And all that you need to see this life through. And so wisdom begins and terminates in your relationship to God. A high view of God will help you. Every moment controlled by Him. Every decision made under His hand, shaped in the school of Christ, wisdom will come. But it's not just enough in our text to say that we need a great view of God, but we need a generous view of one another. And some of us actually struggle more here, right? Now, we may not realize that if we struggle here, we struggle with the former. If you're struggling with your brother, you are also struggling with God, by the way. Because the great commandments go together. Love God, love one another. And John would say it, how can you say you love your Father in heaven if you don't love your brother who sits next to you on the pew? And so we are to have a generous view of one another. You have relationships that aren't peaceable. You have relationships that are double-minded? Do you have relationships that are a struggle? Seek wisdom from above. Applied to relationship. A generous view of one another. This life is not primarily lived for our advancement, our appetites, or any other allegiance but Jesus. Our appetites must be controlled. Our advancement is secondary to the kingdom of God. Our allegiances must be given to Jesus and to what Jesus has done. And so that necessitates a generous view of one another. Beloved, here's where some of you need to repent. You've sinned against your family member, your roommate, your friend in the pew right next to you. And Jesus is going to call you to His table and He's going to say, I gave my life for yours. Live. Live in the wisdom that is from God. Forgiveness is essential to a generous view of one another. There are those who would hurt you and never think twice about you again. But your Savior has thought it through. He has worked it through. He has given Himself for you. And He will not leave you orphaned. Jesus is for us, so we can be for one another. Jesus has been generous to us, so we can be generous to one another. And here's what wisdom does. Wisdom depends on God, and wisdom loves each other. Let us love God and love one another. For the wisdom that is from above, the wisdom that is God-centered, the wisdom that is holy and right, always counts Him and always, always seeks to put feet to the gospel. Beloved, you can't do it on your own. But here's the good news. Jesus has done it for you. Jesus doesn't ask anything of us that He doesn't supply. His death for our life, His perfections, preceded His grace. And His grace is to each of us who trust in Him. By faith, let us pursue a life of wisdom. Pray with me. Our Father and our God, we thank You for the hope that is ours alone in Christ. And Father, we pray that You would not only give us wisdom, but that You would help us to appropriate the wisdom that is from above. That the virtue of Christ given would be received and lived so that we might delight to be called Your own. Father, we acknowledge there are tough relationships. There are tough relationships in our lives. And so humbly we ask, Father, giving God from above, give us wisdom that we may pursue You and love one another well. In Jesus' name, amen.